The Warrior Soul podcast is written, produced, and edited by me, Chris Albert. Our goal is to empower U.S. military veterans to live their absolute best lives. And we do that by providing tools, tactics, strategies, and ideas that they can apply into their lives to become wiser, stronger, smarter, more resilient, and more capable human beings in the civilian world. If you're not a veteran, stick around because anything we talk about here can obviously apply to you. And if you like what we have to say and the information we provide and the guests we bring on, please head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. It really helps to spread word about the show and to get this helpful information into the hands of more veterans so that they can in turn improve their lives and shape the future of this country. This podcast is brought to you by the amazing, the wonderful F-Bomb Nutrition. They make awesome, delicious packets of fats. These are portable snacks that you can carry with you anywhere. It's so hard to find a low-carb snack out there, but these guys have done it. They got macadamia nut butters. They mix them up with chocolate. They mix them up with sea salt. They mix them up with pecan butter. They've got awesome meat sticks, and they've got these delicious cheese snacks that they put out there. Plus, they're an amazing company. They send boxes of this stuff out to the troops on the front line. It's not something we ask them to do. It's something they volunteered to do. So if you want to get some of the best low-carb, high-fat snacks on the planet, head over to www.dropanfbomb.com. Use the code WARRIORSOUL at checkout, and you'll get 20% off your first order. This podcast is also brought to you by the amazing, awesome people at Save the Brave. Save the Brave is an organization that provides camaraderie events for veterans. They do fishing events, they do golfing events, they do other sporting events, and they also do a lot of work to help Gold Star families. And look, we've all heard stories about veterans charities where the executive boards are taking these giant salaries, and I don't have a problem with that at all. But here's the thing. I want to make sure that whatever organization I'm talking about is doing amazing work. SaveTheBrave.org is doing absolutely outstanding work. Their board doesn't take any salary whatsoever, and they are having an amazing impact. They're focused on getting veterans to live their absolute best lives, and that's what this podcast is about, and that's why we wanted to work with them. So if you're interested in volunteering or donating to Save the Brave, head over to www.savethebrave.org and make your donation or your request today. Finally, this podcast is brought to you by Warrior Soul Apparel. This is a clothing company that I actually helped to start a couple of years ago as we were beginning the brand Warrior Soul. We've got some amazing t-shirts. We've got skivvy shirts with some pretty funny sayings on there, like, I love Jesus, but I cuss sometimes. We've also got some awesome hero shirts. We have the amazing Hard Times Breed Hard People series. And these are just great shirts that I've helped create. And they support the show. So if you're interested in getting some Warrior Soul shirts, head over to www.warriorsoul.shop. And finally, if you're interested in joining a new group that we are putting together here at Warrior Soul, a group for those who are looking to live epic lives worthy of epic obituaries, stick around to the end. We'll have some information for you to check out. With that, let's get into the episode. This is Chris Albert, and I'm here to remind you of one thing. Someday, you're going to die. And that's not some morbid statement or scary idea. It's solid fact. Your time here on this earth is limited. And we need to be reminded of this as much as possible for one simple reason. To live your best life while you can. This is the Warrior Soul Podcast.
What's going on, ladies and gents? So today I've got a really awesome guest for you. His name is Mr. Grant Cardone, and you might know him. He's literally all over the internet talking about investing, talking about building businesses, talking about how you can sell better. His YouTube channel has over 1.2 million subscribers, And his Cardone University is helping people to build their own businesses and improve their lives around the world. Behind the man, there is a pretty compelling story. This guy was a drug addict all the way up until the age of 25. He started taking drugs when he was in his teens. He was basically at the bottom of the barrel when he decided to change his life. He quit drugs. He got into selling cars, which he hated at the time, but he put everything he could into learning how to sell, into developing himself. And today, he's got a pretty vast empire. So one of the things I think we should do is when a guy like this is willing to talk to us, we should listen. Beyond that, he's done a whole lot to help out the veteran community. He is involved with an organization named American Dream U that is run by our friend Phil Randazzo. And it's a great organization. They provide a lot of free education. And as part of that, Mr. Cardone has opened up his sales training to all veterans for free. And that means you can go right now or during this episode or after this episode, I suggest after, to www.cardoneuniversity.com/vets. That's C-A-R-D-O-N-E university.com/vets. I'm also going to have a link to that up on the show notes for this. This is some pretty significant sales training. He charges a lot of money for this to the average everyday civilian out there, but he wants to help our community out, and that's why he's doing this. So please take advantage of that. And with that, I don't have much else to say. This is a really awesome conversation, and you will learn a lot. So pull out a pen and a piece of paper. And with that, let's get into this conversation with Grant Cardone. Mr. Cardone, welcome to the show, man.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for having me, and thank you for your service. And everybody that's watching, if you're serving or have served, I really, really appreciate it.
Well, I appreciate you, and you definitely do a lot for the veteran community. I've heard about a lot of your other projects. I've spoken to American Dream U and know about a lot of the other things you're doing. I want to start this off with a question you might not get so often, but you look like you're in great shape. What do you do to stay in shape with all the stuff you got on your plate?
I work out every day. You know, about a year ago, Chris, I started on this because my body was starting to hurt. I'm 61 years old and my body was
You look great. You look fantastic.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So I started going to a physical therapist. I was having all kinds of problems, knees, ankles, shoulders, rotator cuffs, and everybody kept telling me, oh, it's this and it's that. And then I'd go to the PT and they do the electrodes and the needles and the cups and everything. Right. But when I left there after an hour, I'm like, they're doing stuff to me. I'm not doing anything.
Right.
And, so it was a little bit of a crutch that I was going there expecting they're going to cure me. And I hired a trainer and said, hey, meet me every day for 6 days. I need to get in shape. And I made a commitment about 13 months ago, getting the best shape of my life. And I have, I'm really proud of it. In there every day. I'll bet you I haven't missed 9 or 10 days in a year in 365 days.
Wow. And you're hitting weights, doing cardio, all of it, or,
Like I did 40 minutes of cardio this morning, 20 minutes of back. And then I'll do some ab work, you know. I'm actually seeing my abs for the first time in my whole life.
Well, you're in Miami, man. That's important.
Well, I don't do all that. I don't do that. You know what is important more than looking good at the beach is it's knowing I'm taking, regardless of how I look, just to know that, hey, I'm taking care of myself.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't before.
And obviously to have the energy to do all the things that you do. I mean, where I see you, no matter what you're doing, you're constantly bringing your A game to everything.
Yeah, well, thank you, man. Not always, but I appreciate you saying that.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about your background. A lot of people don't know this, but when you were younger, you had an extreme drug problem. Yeah. And you were in a situation where your mother pretty much disowned you, mm-hmm. told you to get out of her house. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how you ended up getting into that situation?
Yeah, so I got into it because I didn't have anything to do. I was bored. Mm-hmm. And I was going to schools that I didn't want to be there. So I'm bored. I didn't have any direction, had no mentors, didn't have any, guidance. My dad died when I was 10. So there wasn't a man in my life. I think not having a man, not having a father, a guide, a mentor was part of it, but a lot of boredom. I was just bored, man. You know, after school, I hated school. And then after school, I did my homework, whatever they told me to do, I would do it. Hated that. And, you know, then what happens is when you don't have anything to do, you start doing stuff that's destructive. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be drugs. It could just be wasting time watching TV, looking at porn, doing nothing. Doing nothing is destructive.
Yeah.
Thinking too much without doing is destructive. Now, you know, when your buddy's like, hey man, try this, man, or try that, or look at what this will do to you. And the next thing you know, I'm doing stuff. Now I'm actually doing stuff I don't feel good about. Like, so I smoked weed when I was 16. By the time I was 17, within a year, I was using every kind of drug there was every day.
Wow.
And it filled up this boredom. It gave me some
action. You were in a small town, right? Louisiana?
Yeah, Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Yeah. I grew up without a dad as well. Never knew my father at all. I ended up, first time I smoked weed was around 11 to 12 years old. And we see kids doing it earlier and earlier as time goes on. I mean, you're hearing about kids in elementary school doing drugs. With you, how bad did it get? How dependent were you on those drugs?
Every day, man. Every day I was using drugs, you know, 6 and 8, 10 times a day. Overdose 3 or 4 times. The death was interrupted by somebody coming in and, you know, shaking me out of it. It was terrible, terrible degradation, the personal sense of self. My self-worth was zero. Like, it was bankrupt. I was bankrupt in every possible way.
And then
when people, like when people tell me they got it hard, I'm like, look, I grew up in a middle-class family. I didn't have it bad. Mm-hmm. I messed up a good deal. You always hear the story about the guy that comes from nothing. I didn't come from nothing. I turned it into nothing.
Right.
You know, which is even in many ways, I think, worse. So, you know, I tried to quit drugs every day, probably 8 or 10 times a day, every day for 9 years. And I just couldn't stop. And I finally went to a treatment center. And I knew I needed to get around people that weren't using drugs. I had to change my environment. It was the first big improvement in my life came from understanding you can't change if you don't change.
Right.
And for me, that meant I needed to change my geographical location for a short period of time. I needed to change my surroundings. I had to cut off this. I was really learning stuff. I didn't know, you know, when you're on drugs, you just want to get off drugs. Mm-hmm. And then I'm not thinking about getting rich. I'm not thinking about owning a company, building a brand, writing books, owning $1 billion worth of real estate. There was none of that hopeful, great stuff was there yet. I just wanted one thing, man. I'm not going to use drugs one day. So that's 25 years old. I went my first day without drugs.
And how did that come about? I know you said you were trying to quit for a while, but was there a moment there that said, all right, this is going to be the time? And then,
yeah,
and
my mother, I showed up at my mother's place one night in Lafayette. I was fucked up. You know, I was eating some sedatives, so I was slurring. My tongue felt like it was like 2 inches thick. I was drinking. Who knows what was in my system? This is years, man, just years of like, my whole body was saturated with chemicals, amphetamines, barbiturates, like just years. Like, people think they use drugs and they just feel something for a moment. The drugs don't, like, when you start loading up that hard, any kind of chemical, creatine, what would people load up with? Vitamin C. Like, it doesn't really matter. When you start loading up years of it, even a good thing can start leaving residual amounts in the kidneys, right, the organs, the fat cells.
And so it embeds itself into your DNA pretty much.
I don't know what it does. I just know that, like, there's 60 trillion cells, all of them intelligent. And I'm bombarding them with poisons. And so anyway, one night I show up at my mom's place, and I can't even talk, dude. I'm dribbling shit. Nobody would even know. I weighed 135 pounds, Chris. That's 35 pounds less than I weigh right now. Wow. I mean, I had 30% less body weight. Hey, I had nothing to blame. I didn't serve in a war. I didn't have PTSD. It was just me being a junkie.
Yeah.
And so my mom said, don't come back here anymore. She finally drew the line in the sand. Don't come back here anymore. You're not welcomed here. You're not welcome in my house until you clean up. And so a week later, I was in a treatment center for drug addiction.
Yeah. And so at that point, you get through that treatment center and you're at 25 years old. At some point between the age of 25 and 30, you were able to make your first million.
I think I banked $1 million somewhere around 31 or 32 years old. I remember where I was. I was in La Jolla, California. So I had to be 31 because I went Lake Charles, Houston, lived in Houston for 5 or 6 years, then to La Jolla. And, I remember I was in my office in La Jolla. I was still officing out of my home. And I totaled my accounts up. It was like 4:30 in the morning. I'm totaling up my accounts. I'm preparing to call the East Coast. I'm in California, and I'd wake up at 4:30 so I could call the West Coast at 8:30 in the morning. And I totaled up my accounts. I'm like, I got $1.1 million, man. Shit. You know? And I was like, dang, I was terrified. It was not a joyous moment for me.
Really?
No, I was scared, man. I'm like, what do I do with this money now? You don't want to get it and blow it.
Yeah.
We've all heard the stories about the people. Tremendous responsibility once you get a little bit of money. Mm-hmm. And same thing with recovery, right? Same thing with getting off of drugs. You don't want to get off because everybody's saying, let's see how long he lasts. It's kind of like when people get married. You know, half the people at a wedding are saying, I doubt it. Yeah. Okay, let's see how long this one lasts. You know, there's always people like actually pulling against you. Not unfairly either. 72% of the NFL and NBA blow their money. They're bankrupt in 24 months. 60% of marriages don't work. And, you know, probably 50 or 60% of drug addicts go back and use drugs again. Like 70 or 80% of people that go to prison go back to prison. So it's not unfair. It's not like people are hating on me. Oh, watch, he's going to go back and use drugs again. And so I'm saying the same thing to myself. I'm a realist, right? Oh, I got this $1 million. Okay, what's going to happen? I've always waited for the next shoe to drop. And maybe that started with my dad dying, you know, like my dad died when I was 10. So I'm like, oh shit, man, everybody around me is going to die. Then my older brother died when he was 25. My dad was 52. My older brother was 25. I was 20. He dies. I'm like, oh, so people are going to just die. I'm going to die. So the realism of life, you know, of failing, of getting somewhere and then having it all taken away from you has always been extremely real to me. That's probably propelled me to this kind of 10X mentality.
So when you earn, so you moved out to California. That's something I did too, just to get away from where I came from, to get away from my hometown. You have this new beginning, and you're adding up your accounts one day and you just see you had $1 million there. How did that happen? I know you were in car dealing, right?
Yeah, no, I was I was going around the country. When I got out of the treatment center, I sold cars, hated it. At 30 years old, I learned how to sell cars and loved it and got so good at it that I started teaching car dealers how to sell cars around the country. Gotcha. And so I was traveling around the country between 29 and 31 years old, teaching car dealers how to sell automobiles. First 3 years, I made less money than, I think the first 2 years, 29, 30, 31, I made less money than I made selling cars. And then at 31, dude, I finally figured out the formula. Gotcha. So how to call on these car dealers and get them to pay me money. Somewhere around 31, I had accumulated that $1.1 million. So I was out knocking on businesses, cold calling on businesses around the country. And all I was doing every day, Chris, was working. I would work. I'd call on these businesses. 80% of them would kick me out of their company. 20% of them would buy from me. And I would take all the money from that event and I'd throw it in the bank. I spent no money on weekends. I'll bet you I saved $1 million not doing drugs. Okay. Not to mention that I could actually go produce now, but I was using a lot of drugs every day. And when you use drugs, then you do stupid shit. Mm-hmm. Wreck cars, getting fights, like all kind of stuff happens. So I didn't have any of that going on between 25 and 31. I had 6 or 7 years where my buddies are going out on weekends, Fridays and Saturdays, you know, getting loaded. I couldn't afford to go get loaded because I couldn't afford to go have a couple of drinks. If I had a couple of scotches, there was a good chance, man, that I'd end up, you know, I was worried about the element grabbing me again. So I'm not hanging out with strippers. I'm not spending money on prostitutes. You know, all the things that come with drugs. I'm not gambling. What am I doing on Saturdays and Sundays? I'm freaking working.
Working your butt off. Yeah.
So I'm either working. I'm either out on the road working. Hey, my name's Grant Cardone. Learning how to pitch myself. And I'm in some kind of 12-step program telling somebody, hey, I made it another day. You can too.
Now you said you hated car dealing at first, but at the same time, you learned stuff from it. You learned how to sell. You learned how to present yourself. You learned how to pitch. Yeah. How'd that come about? Were you doing self-help programs? Were you?
You're going to hate something if you don't commit to it. So if you're not committed, you're going to hate it because you're going to be terrible at it. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be the fanciest job in the world. If you hate it, I mean, if you're no good at it and you're not committed to it, you're not going to love it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have people like, oh my God, I'd love to be able to travel the world the way you do. I hate traveling. So, until I hate traveling because I hated what I had to go through to do it. Right. So, right. But if I'm committed to the game completely, and in that case, when I was 25, it was the only thing I realized it's the only thing I could do.
Gotcha.
So the only job I could get, dude, the only job I could get was sales. Nobody was hiring me back then for anything else. There was no jobs where I lived. I didn't know any. I wasn't an engineer. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a contractor. There was hard labor jobs in the city I lived in. That, you know, pushing pipes, pushing 600-pound per pressure water hydroblasting through coke pipes to break up the coke and pipes, black coke, not drug coke. Mm-hmm. And you know, I didn't want to do that job either. So I bought a program. I bought a sales training program. It's funny. You're not going to be good at anything if you don't have any education on it. Like, right. I had 7 sales jobs. I lost them all. I get one training program to teach me how to be a great salesman. And not only do I become good at sales, fall in love with sales, become great, then become great at sales, I end up mastering the game to where people look to me for advice on the thing that I hated just a few years before that.
Hey guys, you know as well as I know that life can be extraordinarily difficult. It's also short, incredibly short. And the more we spend our time spinning our tires or feeling like we're stuck in the mud or feeling angry or depressed or anything like that, the more we are letting life slip by. That's why we created the Warriors Obituary Society. It's a group for men that empowers its members to live absolutely epic lives worthy of epic obituaries. And it starts with developing your vision. We're going to help you to develop a vision for your life and get very clear on what you want. From there, we're going to be working on helping you to develop your own personalized and customized fitness plan. Then we're going to help you to work on your finances so you can start knocking down debt and start building your dreams. In addition to that, we'll help you work on your relationships. We'll help you work on building your network. We'll help you to focus on your business and your career. And we'll help you to build the necessary soft skills that you're going to need to push yourself forward in this life. Our 8-week development program up front is just the start. After that, you're going to be working on weekly challenges, monthly goals, and you're going to have a group of men to hold you accountable every step of the way. We meet once a week live on a video conference call, and we're also constantly communicating on our own private forum. We don't do anything over social media because we don't want you to be distracted, and we don't want you to feel like anybody's looking over your shoulder. Normally, programs like this cost thousands of dollars. This program does not. It's actually very reasonable. And if you're interested, just head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com. We've got a great group of active duty military, U.S. military veterans, and civilians from around the world in the group right now. And we'd love to have you along for the ride. So again, head over to www.warriorobituarysociety.com and check it out. And if you have any questions, feel free to email me directly at chris@warriorsoulagogi.com. I'm always happy to sit down with people and talk to them about what the group might do for them and whether or not the group is right for them. I hope to see you guys in there. And with that, let's get back to the interview. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So you get to this position where you've got money now. And well, now
I got a little money, man. Don't be
a little bit of money. You got a little bit of money, but
I got scared money. I got scared money is what I got.
Yeah. And you got yourself through this transition. Now the big thing is, and as you know, our audience out there, lots of veterans, right? So we've got a lot of combat veterans from the U.S. Marine Corps, U.S. Army. We've got a lot of veterans who have just gotten out. We got some guys who are still in who are thinking about getting out. What would you tell them in terms of you know, what they should start to think about now? What should they be learning? Should they be learning sales like you did?
You guys should be learning about money. Mm-hmm. The mission is money. Okay. The mission is not passion.
Right.
So I was doing a thing with, what's the name of it? The big Pentagon, the Pentagon. I was doing it. and it was for vets in transition. They were either getting noticed, had been noticed, but they knew the end was near. And I heard 5 speakers in front of me talk about find your passion, find out what you love to do, find out what you're good at. I'm like, that's ridiculous, guys. Like, that's kind of what got you in this mess. Fuck, I love my country. Let me go fight for it. Okay, good. But you need money. Like, I need money. Like, if they would pay me $1 million a year to be a mechanic, I would fucking learn how to be a mechanic. I don't need to do it forever. If you tell me I can create financial freedom for me and my family by learning about real estate, show me the fucking book. I don't need to love real estate, man. I need to learn it.
Right.
So in my case, it was sales. Hey, get connected to revenue. Oh, I hate sales. I went to college. I spent 5 years getting an accounting degree. You don't spend 5 years getting an accounting degree. And this is for some of the guys and gals out there that you got this entitlement issue going on. You don't even know you got it going on, but you're like, I'm better than that. I'm better. I'm a corporal. I was a corporal in the Marines, and I'm better than being a salesman at some mobile company. No, you ain't, man. You ain't better than that, bro. That old game's over. You're not a corporal anymore.
Right.
Okay. You're head of household, and head of household means you need to bring the money in. Okay, head of household doesn't mean you sit in a lazy boy and bitch. It doesn't mean you watch TV. Head of household means you get the fuck out of the lazy boy, you go get money. And there's plenty of money. There's no shortage of money on this planet. And there can't be a better greeting than I fought for this country. It cannot be a better opening. There cannot be a better business card than, bro, look, I fought for this country. Give me 5 minutes. I mean, if I had that opening, I'd be like, it'd be ridiculous. And I would use it every single day in every way. Shamelessly.
Now,
used to promote. And when I was at the Pentagon, a lot of guys says, oh man, I just don't want to use that card. I said, you need to use that card. That is one of your greatest assets. Selling is about presenting your assets, diminishing the liabilities. Presenting your assets only. That's what a salesperson does. Okay. That's what a household protector does. They fortify the assets around the household. Okay. They protect the assets of the household. And part of that starts with income. I got to have income to have confidence.
Right.
And this is what vets don't know. Right. Like if I'm on a mission and I find out there's no food supplies, no ammunition coming in, communications get shut off. Dude, our confidence is going to shit.
Right.
Income for the household is the same as ammunition is to a Marine. I got to know we're getting relief. I got to know we got food supplies. I got to know we got comm coming in. I got to know we got ammunition. Gives me confidence. Dude, we got troops coming in behind us, right? Oh my God, we can fight for another 30 minutes. And income for the household does the same thing because it gives me confidence. The more income I can have coming in, right, that I'm responsible for, that I can run that line between me and my family and the economy, and I can go out into the economy and I can pull money in today, like gives me tremendous confidence.
We live in this kind of crazy time and place where people could start a business now with less than they've ever had before, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you see, you've been taking advantage of a lot of social media. You're huge on social media right now, but we see a lot of people just trying to start businesses on social media without products, without services. How do you move to the point to where you're gonna be creating a product. You're gonna be putting a product out there that's gonna bring money in. And what mistakes do you see a lot of these entrepreneurs making in this kind of new age?
Yeah, well, you've already hit on it. Like there's no product lineup. There's too few products. And you got guys out there saying you should get on social media and not monetize. You should do everything for free. I don't know what these guys are thinking. I don't understand what these guys are thinking. Yeah, it sounds great, but if you're in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina,
right,
and you just came from 2 years of Afghanistan, and your wife's a nurse, she's been basically taking care of the kids and the finances for 2 years. You hit town. What do you got? What do you got? Some money coming in? Do you get some money? They pink slipped you. Did that money stop or is it still coming in? There's some kind of.
Usually depends if somebody's got benefits, they could have some money coming in. It could be, you know, a lot, could be enough to survive. Really depends on what somebody's injuries were when they got out.
Yeah. So But then if you're not going to work, bro, you're going to be a bitch to live with.
Exactly.
Because you're not going to feel good about yourself. She's working, you're not. That never works, ever. Never. You don't feel good about yourself because you don't have a mission anymore, man. And you're like, man, I was happier when I was over there. Then you think it's the marriage. It isn't the marriage. You need a game. Everybody needs a game, right? So if you go online and you start playing the social media game and you're doing it for free, guess what? You're just going to end up in a bunch of dark spots where people are talking bullshit about politics or conspiracy. You right. got to have a game. And the game is, hey, man, I'm in the cigar business now, whatever, right? I'm going to sell cigars online. I'm not going to give them away for free. I'm going to make money. I can measure this.
Right.
Outflow, inflow. Okay. We went out on a mission. The mission was to get a cigar into the marketplace. Somebody's going to pay me $10 for this. And then how many times can I repeat that activity? So people need, the mistake people are making is they're going for likes and comments and controversy and clickbaiting and bullshit when they need to make money.
Right. So stop spending all that energy worrying about politics, worrying about the idealism, and start figuring out something that's going to bring in the revenue.
Yeah, that game's over, man. Let's change the narrative of your elevate your game now. You guys did that when you were over there. I got to keep changing my game. You know, after 10 years of recovering from drug addiction, I needed to elevate my game. At some point, I was like, okay, I got to quit talking about this drug addiction thing. Because I looked at the guys around me that kept talking about it, and they were in the same meetings, talking the same bullshit, having the same problems. Right. And we called them old timers. Yeah, old Jack over there, the old timer. He's been here 60 fucking years. And things are getting worse. The only thing Jack can say is he ain't used drank or drugged in 60 years.
Right.
The rest of his life is crumbling around him. His health is bad. His car is shit. His money's awful. He's had his third divorce. But he knows how to pour a good cup of coffee. And he recites the same bullshit because he never elevated the game.
Right. And that's part of the same thing we're going through right now as a community, where everybody's talking about, you know, suicide, and the 22 veterans a day, 25 veterans a day are committing suicide. But at the end of the day, it shouldn't just be about not killing ourselves. It should be about going out there and actually living our lives, right?
What am I creating? What are the other 78 guys doing? What are they doing? Okay. Look, my belief is that people are going to kill themselves when they don't have something to do.
Right.
I don't have something to do. I'm going to kill myself. The suicide rate goes down when those guys go back to war. You don't have 22 out of 100 people killing themselves in battle. You have them killing themselves when they don't have a battle.
Exactly.
So the battle's not the problem. It's throwing my hands up and saying, I don't have a game to play anymore. And so who's in charge, right? What's the mission? What's the new mission? And the new mission should be, hey, I'm coming back as head of household. I'm not a corporal anymore. And my job, if you look up the word economy in the dictionary, it means to, let me just look it up. Let me look it up so I don't butcher it. But it's basically connected to the household. How do I manage a household? And that's what, you know, when my dad died, the money stopped. And when the money stopped, dude, everybody freaked out. When the provider can't provide anymore, it gets terrifying. And just getting money from benefits, there's no create on that.
Right. And part of that too is, you know, with your situation, you were in such a desperate situation not to go back to where you were. You kind of burned the ships behind you.
I'm not going back, dude. I'm not going back. So I got to throw myself into one thing. What can I throw myself in that I can measure today?
Exactly.
Some people do body lifting. Okay. They're doing 3 and 4 hours of body lifting a day. Okay. Some people go into service. What's her name? The saint. She just went into full service.
Teresa, yeah.
Van Gogh was a painter. He painted and painted and painted. I needed to pay my bills.
Right. Like,
fuck, I had $2,000 worth of bills every month, and I was single. I didn't have a wife and kids. And I'm like, I just got to pay my bills. I have an obligation. And if I can't pay my bills, I'm not going to feel good about myself. And I remember what that is like.
Right. And so part of the reason here is that people just aren't desperate enough to make it happen, right?
Because you think your pension's enough.
Right.
Or the benefits are enough.
Right.
Passive income is great, but it don't make you feel great. Particularly if it's connected to something you don't feel good about. You know, like we all know somebody that got some big judgment, right? They lawsuit, something happened, ended up with a bunch of money. Nobody feels good about that score.
Something like 90% of the people who win the lottery end up going bankrupt in 3 years, right?
There was no create connected to it.
Right.
So, exactly. So for me, look, I'm still getting up every morning, going out hunting like I'm a hungry dog on the back of a meat truck. Like I'm as hungry today. You wouldn't know the difference between 61-year-old Grant. I can't spend the money I have today. Like I could lose $1 million today. I wouldn't even know there was anything that happened. And I know that might sound arrogant and everything. Like $1 million is like, I'd be like, yeah, okay, big deal. Not an issue. So I could do that. I could do that probably a couple of times a week. Because I kept my head down. I kept my head down, okay?
Yeah.
I kept my head down. I kept my mission focused, okay? When everybody else was talking politics and bullshit, I'm like, hey, keep the main thing, dude. The mission is to fund, F-U-N-D, your family so you can have some fun one day in the future. Pay the price today so you can pay any price tomorrow. Because I don't want to be a prisoner. I want to have... I want to pick my battles now. Mm-hmm. And I want to go wherever the hell I want to go. That's what America's about. Freedom. It don't mean I got to stay here. It means I get to exercise my freedom. And you cannot do that without money. It is impossible. You don't have resources, you can't be free.
You say that, and I've heard you say this before, it's not about saving, right? It's not about saving your money. It's what you do with your money. Do you think it's a mistake for somebody to just save all their money in a retirement account or an investment account or something like that?
Totally it is. It is because why are you saving money? Because you're trying to exit the game. Why do you save your ammunition? Because you know you got a shortage of it. If you know you got plenty coming, you're not going to save it. So you see the shortage, I'm going to save my money. I'm going to set up for a 401k or I'm going to set up an IRA. I'm going to set up for retirement. I'm going to save for a rainy day. These are all ideas about how to exit the game, mm-hmm. not be in the game. Wealthy people do not save their money. Your neighbor saves their money. People struggling save money. The middle class saves money. The wealthy don't save money. They use money. They invest money. They multiply money. They get money to work for them. They use money to buy time. I mean, the thinking's completely different.
And so, you know, you've gotten yourself into real estate. You said you own over $1 billion worth of real estate. How did that come about? I know you said you've never been licensed. You just went out there and you started looking, right?
Best game in the world, man. Just the best game in the world. You like it is the safest, most conservative, dependable, proven, longest proven vehicle on the planet is real estate. It's been around way longer than the stock market. If I can invest in real estate that pays me every month in good locations that I can keep through all cycles in the future, it'll probably be worth more money than it is today. And it paid me while I waited. I'm not talking about a house.
Right.
I'm not talking about where I live. That's not the kind of real estate I'm talking about. I'm talking about out this door. I don't know if you can see this out this window. Let me see.
See the parking lot. Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. But anyway, it looks like a parking lot, but across the street is apartment buildings. There's 256 apartments over there. Those people pay $1,800 a month. And, you know, if I could buy that piece of real estate and make out of that $1,800 a month, if I could make $100 a month, every month out of that rent, cash flow free after debt and maintenance, that's the kind of real estate I'm talking about.
Right. And so, I mean,
best game in the world, man.
And that's very different from what you hear with people who are flipping or trying to make an instant $1 million off of a single deal, right? That's you're basically getting yourself to the point where you're earning some profit off of the real estate that you've got, right?
Yeah. I don't want to sell the real estate. I want it to pay me every month.
Right.
I want income. Income is senior to a score. I need incoming. See this, I'm going to repeat the message again because it's like, I need income. I need reinforcements.
Right.
I don't need a big score 3 months from now. I got somebody tell me we're going to win, but it's going to be 3 months from now. Dude, I need a score this today. I need some income to give me the confidence to stay in this thing. And so this kind of real estate, when I invest in a piece of real estate, first of all, I take money. I take a bunch of money, and every time I've saved money up, what I do is I take a chunk of it and I go buy a piece of real estate. So whatever, let's say I got $100,000. $100,000 will buy me $300,000 or $400,000 worth of real estate. So I take the $100,000, I go buy $400,000, maybe four units. Okay, 4 or 8 units. If I'm in South Carolina, maybe it's gonna buy 10 units. I'm going to buy 10 units with my $100,000 and I'm going to get a loan on the rest. Easiest loan in the world to get. And then I'm going to finance that $900,000 or whatever the difference is. I'm going to finance that money. Or I'm going to get a partner and finance less, get a partner to throw some money in with me. And then I'm going to manage those 8 or 10 units so that I get a return on my initial investment of $100,000. You know, it'd be nice to make $1,000 a month off that. Regardless of the economy, regardless of what happens, including bed bugs and termites and toilets going bad, and I got to replace the roof and I got to paint it. This is a perfect job for guys coming out.
Right.
You know, and so I make $1,000 a month. And what I do is if I can really take care of the property, then maybe I can improve the rents by another $100. And so now I'm not making $1,000 a month. I'm making $1,100 a month, but my investment's doing the work. That's the game, man.
Now, if I go on YouTube and I search how to make money, how to build the business, how to do this, how to do that, I'm going to be filled with hundreds of videos on how to do it, right?
Yeah.
It seems like there's several thousand people out there right now trying to teach people how to make money. How do you choose who to listen to, and should you be listening to everybody?
Yeah, no, you got to put a filter on. You got to put filters on. Like, the only thing worse than one bad general is two good ones. You know, it's why our country's failing right now. Nobody makes decisions on anything. Nobody can make a decision. A lot of great ideas running around. You go to Singapore, dude, there's no gum on the streets. Like, there's no graffiti anywhere. You use heroin in Singapore, they'll kill you the same day. Mm-hmm. Like, because there's a leader. There's a guy making a decision. Now, that works as long as the guy's making good decisions. But in this country, nobody can make a decision because we got Congress, we got Senate, we got, you know. So what does that have to do with how you get advice? You got to find somebody. You got to pick somebody that you want to follow, that you admire, and that you know enough about that can get you where you want to go and literally turn the whole world off. Like I don't study 15 different people. I study one person 15 different ways. So I pick somebody that I really admire, somebody that has more attributes that I want than deficits. They don't need to be perfect. They've done something I don't know about, you know, and then I'm gonna rather than studying 15 how-tos, I'm gonna take Warren Buffett and say, I want to read 15 different articles from Warren to understand actually what he's doing.
So you stick with one mentor rather than trying to go for like 5, 10, 15 different mentors. You got to find one, right?
Bruce Lee said, "Hey man, I do not fear the man with 500 moves or 500 kicks. I fear the man that practices one kick 500 times."
Now you've got, want to talk a little bit about your own programming. Like you said, you've gone out there, you've done a lot of volunteering with American Dream U. You also have Cardone University and you have a lot of free content out there.
Yeah. I think that's cardoneuniversity.com/vets. Let me just check it out. Let me just see if that's still hot. That's available for vets for free. I don't need anything from you. I appreciate your service. Again, see, we didn't go to the Pentagon and try to offer this because I know they're not going to take it.
Right.
It's so much bullshit you got to go through to get anything to happen. I'm like, fuck it. I don't need you guys. I'll just tell everybody. Let me see. That's actually not working. CardoneUniversity.com. Yeah. CardoneUniversity.com. CardoneUniversity.com/vets. Get free access.
Outstanding. Yeah. We'll definitely get that out there to the community. And, you know, when they come into Cardone University, what can they expect? It's a lot.
Well, you're going to learn how to get money. It teaches people how to go make contact with a prospect or an enemy,
right,
and convince them to come to your side and support your mission.
One last question I want to ask you here. Let's say something happened and you were brought back to, let's say you had $1,000 in your bank account.
Yeah.
What's the first thing you would do?
First thing I would do is I would define the target. I would be like, okay, what's my new target here? Got to get over my losses here. I got to get over the fact that I've had a few losses. And I'm like, okay, I got $1,000. I'm getting ready to do a show where they're going to give me $100 and I'm going to go into a city in 90 days and start all over.
Really?
TV show. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And they're like, you know, what are you going to do with your kids? I'm like, I'm bringing my kids with me, man. And they're like, oh, wow. The last guy didn't do that. He left the kids at home. I said, well, the shit, that ain't fair. Half of America's got to drag their little freeloading kids with them. I got to feed my kids on $100. Mm-hmm. So you know, it's all easy if you're like, oh, it's just me by myself, but it's not me by myself. I got two kids and a wife. I'm going to bring them. This is what I would do. If I was down to $1,000, I'd be like, what do I need today to feed my kids? Number one. Number two, who will pay me to feed my kids? Three, what do they want? So one, what's the target? Two, who will help me? I need to go reach somebody else. I can't sit in my lazy boy. It's not going to change in my environment. There's no money here.
Right.
Right. The environment got sucked out. So the solution's not here. The solution is one, what's the target? Two, who's got my money? Who's got my money to feed my kids? Three, what do I need to give them for them to exchange with me?
Standing, it's just coming down.
I'll be back in no time, dog. I'll be back in no time.
And then just keeping on the target, focusing on it,
and just keep repeating that over and over and over again. And stay away from all the deadbeats and the bullshit. Stay away from the guys not doing anything. Stay away from the moaning, the groaning, the bitching, the complaining, the conspiracy bullshit. Even if it is a conspiracy, it ain't gonna pay you, man.
Right.
That no, very few people make money on these conspiracies except for the guys throwing them around.
Right. And it's not worth, you know, putting so much mind to politicians when most of them
wouldn't. If you're going to play the game, make sure you make some money with it.
Yeah, exactly. Instead of like worrying about people who wouldn't piss on you if you were on fire, right?
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, sir, number one, I want to thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you, man. Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Do anything for you guys.
Definitely. And I want to definitely acknowledge you for everything you do. You've been a major supporter of the veteran community from the beginning. Where are you headed? What does the next 5 years look like for you?
I don't know, man. I don't know. Probably my wife says it's going to be better than it was. So she keeps telling me, oh my God, great things are going to happen to us. I said, when? Shit, I'm ready.
Just constantly. So, on top.
We just keep looking for the next hill. Just keep looking for the next mission, you know? I don't want to keep running the same operation I've been running. You know, everybody needs to elevate the game.
Right.
And so, you know, when I came out of that treatment center, I needed to elevate the game that much. Don't use today and go improve your situation just a little bit. And then I did that enough times to say, okay, now I can improve it a little bit more. Oh, I can go learn something new now after a couple of years of it. If people would just understand one thing that I know for sure, if you don't quit, you cannot fail. If I just keep showing up every day, if I refuse to quit, if I'm committed to figuring it out and I don't quit and I keep getting up every day, I'm going to make it sooner or later. And so will you.
That's a great place to end off. Mr. Cardone, thank you so much for coming on. And to everybody out there, take note of this advice and get out there and live your best lives while you can.
I'm going to put that website there for you too, okay?
Outstanding.
Be great, pal.
You too.
All right, guys. Again, I want to thank you so much for listening to this interview. I hope that you got a lot out of it. If you did, please make sure you're sharing these episodes out with those who you think can definitely use this information. And also, please head over to iTunes and write us a written rating and review. It really helps us to spread this show and to get it in the hands of more veterans. If you want to support what we're doing here at Warrior Soul, you can head over to warriorsoul.shop and you can buy a piece of our awesome gear. It is made, printed, and designed by U.S. Marine Corps veterans, and we've got some awesome shirts up there. And if you're interested, make sure you head over and check out the Warriors Obituary Society. That is up at www.warriorobituarysociety.com. It's, like I said, it's an amazing group for men that's empowering them to live absolutely epic lives. And with that, guys, I want to thank you again for listening. We've got more awesome interviews coming up for you next week and more awesome content. So with that, get out there and live your best lives while you can. This is Chris Albert, and I'll be talking to you soon.